generation, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus, forever we're singing.
Good morning, we're gonna serve. seated. Good morning. My name is Martha Christian. We are glad to have you here with us at Broadway. If this is your first Sunday with us, we especially welcome you and pray that you feel wanted and welcomed here because you are. For those of if you are would like to let us know that you stopped by, there's a communication sheet in the bulletin that you can fill out and let us know, and we just want to send you a note thanking you for stopping by. And if you're a longtime member, and if there's any other steps that you would like to take up in the corner here, you can let us know any steps in your faith that you might be wanting to take as we have been talking about baptism and as we have the pool open today. We want you to know that you can contact us about anything on here, and we will be sure to take care of the needs that you have. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see a celebration about our celebration story about our early learning center. It's an important ministry of our church as we seek to love on our families and our neighbors here. We've got a couple things going on. It's a busy June, as you guys all know, so I thank you guys for being here with us this morning. This is an important thing. You know, sometimes it gets easy when life gets really busy and you think, I'm just not going to come into church. You know, I've got other stuff. I've got things that I could be working on. But I'm telling you, there's something extremely important when we come together and say, this matters. You matter. You matter. You matter. I come here to be together. It's important for us to do that. So thank you guys for taking the time out to do that. And I know you'll be blessed today. A couple things coming up that I want you guys to be mindful of. Next week, June 11th through the 14th, we have the Kentucky Annual Conference is going to be in town. There's many ways to help with that. Just go ahead and be praying for all of these pastors that are going to be here in town the 11th through the 14th. And we'll have ways to help with that next week. We'll let you know as well. And we also have Vacation Bible School is coming up June 19th through the 22nd. We have an evening Bible school. If you've never been a part of our VBS here, it's awesome. We pack this place full of kids, and they have it's in the evening, and we have fun activities, and it's high energy. It's fun. So we are in need of volunteers for that to help lead these kiddos and your kiddos. You can sign them up. Everybody can sign up at BroadwayUnited.org, and it'll lead you to the places that you need to sign up for VBS. All right. We're going to stand together, and this is the time when you turn to your neighbor, and go ahead and introduce yourself. It's important to know who we are by name, and some of us may not know names, so go ahead and introduce yourself. That's something we've all got. As we continue, you can see our colors have changed. Today is a big day. Today is is a day that the church has historically referred to as Pentecost. And I want to tell you a little bit, just a brief little thing before we call ourselves to worship. But Jesus told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem. This was after he was crucified. He rose. He started appearing to people, and he told his disciples to wait for the Father's gift of the Holy Spirit, from whom they would receive power to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And after Jesus' ascension to heaven, the men returned to Jerusalem, and they joined together to pray in the upper room. On the day of Pentecost, just as promised, the sound of a violent wind filled the house. Just envision that. Just listen for that for a minute. The sound of a violent wind filled the house, and tongues of fire came to rest on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were given the power of communication, which Peter used to begin the ministry for which Jesus had prepared him. And after the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples did not stay in the room basking in God's glory, but they burst out to tell the world. Bursting out, bursting out of the walls with this power and with this full knowledge that Jesus, it was exactly who he said he was, that he was dead and resurrected. Their friend was killed on a cross. They put him in the ground. He came back. He gives them this promise of the Holy Spirit that fills them with power, with life, with so much that it's bursting out of the doors. This is the beginning of the church as we know it. This is the beginning of the church as it can be. This is the beginning of the church as it will be. So we are going to call ourselves to worship, reminding ourselves of the same Spirit that is alive and active right now. So let's call us in. Spirit of life, fill our emptiness with your fullness. Read with me. Spirit of power, stir our hearts afresh. Spirit of love, touch us and through us our neighbor. Spirit of creativity, enable and empower the gifts you have given. Spirit of eternity, draw us ever deeper into your kingdom. Amen. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, so Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Oh, it surely is. Your presence, Lord. We've tasted, we have seen. And feel sing, let us become. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory. Reminding us of who we are. You're reminding us of places that are in our hearts that maybe we've forgotten or ignored or just tried to push away. But you and your goodness, you come with this gentle light that shines on those places and says, you don't want to hold on to this anymore, do you? God, give us the courage to say, no, we don't. And we release those things to you. We find that our hands are open. Our hands are open to receive. That is our prayer this morning, that you would open up our hands. Help us to let go of the things that we've been holding on to for so long. Help us to let go of identities that we've been holding on to for so long. Let us hold on to it, and let us let go of anything that we've been holding on to you that has given us a name that is not the name that you have given us. Oh, Spirit, illuminate in our hearts. Give us our name. Tell us our name. Sing your freedom over us. How you long for us to be free. You have done absolutely everything to make us free. So Jesus, with open hands, we want to receive it. We want to receive that freedom. Oh, move in this place, Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh on us. Fall fresh on us. That we would not be the same. Change us from the inside out. As we run free with these open hands. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making this possible. Thank you. Thank you for giving us life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Spirit, in this next few moments that we're here together, remind us who you are. Remind us who we are. Bring all glory to the Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm Adam Sherds, and I am thrilled to be with you. As Martha so well set us up today, and as the choir did, to get us to this point where we're kind of ready to see what God is going to do, I want to talk to you about what we really celebrate today. It's a way for us to live into the story of Jesus the way the church has for thousands of years through celebration as we culminate a series, a sort of life together time, 40 days of celebration. Today is sort of the pinnacle of that. And it's been called the birthday of the church, but more than just sort of singing happy birthday and blowing out candles, what we celebrate really is the power of God's Spirit as a fire that burns in us. And the church has celebrated that on Pentecost for as long as the church has been in existence. And Pentecost means 50th day. It was a Jewish festival at first that was a time to celebrate the law, the giving of the Ten Commandments. But Christians celebrated as when the Holy Spirit came among God's people and then unleashed a movement of grace, a wildfire of God's Spirit into the world. And we exist because of that day. And we celebrate not so that we can remember something that happened, but be part of something that's happening. And I pray that today you will join in something that is happening as God's Spirit moves in you and in us. Today what I'd like to do is guide us through three movements of worship, each guided by a single word. And those words are straight out of Scripture, straight out of the story in Acts 1 and Acts 2 of God's Spirit showing up in powerful ways. And these words will give us a sort of starting point to engage ourselves into the story. So we come with expectation, wondering what God might do. And I'm so glad you're here. I want to start with the first of those three words. The first word is wait. And this might seem like a strange place to start. It's not a word that we like very much. Waiting is something you do in a sort of a doctor's office. That's not fun. A line at Disney World before you get to the rides. It was something you do with that person that you love very much in your life but is always sort of behind and you have to try to usher them out the door. Waiting's not a fun thing. It's not something that we like. But the first words from Jesus to his Easter people were words to wait. And so let's go to Acts 1, 3 through 5. And we read, after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them, these are his friends, his disciples, and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive, that he was resurrected. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this commandment. Do not leave Jerusalem, which is where they were, but wait for the gift my Father had promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I grew up on the farm. One of my favorite expressions from the country life is, you got to make hay while the sun still shines, or while the sun shines. Anybody grow up with that expression? Yeah, we're mostly from Kentucky, so we get that. But if you grow up on a farm, you know that you have to do that. It's sort of a way of expressing that if you wait too long on certain things, they don't get done. And if the rain falls on the grass that's been mowed, the hay, and it's wet and it stays wet for too long, it molds and it's ruined. You have to get to it when you need to get to it. And I like that expression because it sort of is the way I was raised. You got to get to stuff. You got to get to work. And we make our way in the world through getting things done. We are people of action, people of activity, people of productivity. Most of us have found some way or another to succeed by getting to work, putting our nose to the grindstone. And a lot gets accomplished that way. But there is a limit to this, and we all know that as well, don't we? We are limited, we're finite, we're human. There are certain things that we can't just fix, can't just do, can't accomplish on our own. And those become great places of frustration for us in life. Places where we want to act, want to do, want to take hold of and grab the bull by the horns, make hay while the sun shines, except that we can't get it figured out. We can't make things happen. And then maybe only then, after we have given it our best, we've worked really hard, come to the end of our strength, then we sometimes will say, God, you got to help me. And maybe it's an honest prayer like, God, I need help. Or maybe it's sort of a sarcastic prayer, God, I need help. But at the end of our strength, then we sometimes are prone to ask. Jesus tells us to do the exact opposite. The first of these words is really an important word about our relationship with God. Jesus tells us not to wait until we have come to the end of our abilities before we ask for God's strength and God's help and God's power. Jesus tells us to do that first. And to, in fact, not do anything until we have it. He tells his disciples, you go and you wait until God moves, until God acts, until you know. And you can imagine them saying, how will we know? And Jesus is like, you'll know. You don't have to ask. If you have to ask, it hasn't happened yet. You'll know. And so they wait. Now, waiting is sort of a dirty word for us. We don't like it. And maybe it's because it kind of is something that we've learned to do only when we're bored, when we don't have something else to do. These days, it's not a problem because you can pull out your phone, you can you can be active, and you can do stuff, and you never have to be bored, you never have to sit, you never have to be quiet. I grew up in the country. I grew up hunting. We were deer hunters, and I know that some of you don't like that, and I haven't hunted deer in a long time. But what I really loved about deer hunting was being out in the woods and being away from the distractions and away from all the noise. And there's a sort of a reality with deer hunting. You kind of get out there or get out in the woods, and you don't have to be hunting to do this, and get quiet. And then the woods comes alive after a few minutes. You realize that everything has gotten quiet, but if you sit still, then the birds come out, and the squirrels come out, and different animals come out. And it's pretty wonderful. But after a couple hours of sitting in a tree stand or sitting on the ground, you get bored. Sort of check out. It's sort of, it can get long. It's hard to wait. And then there's that moment when you hear that noise, and it's the crackle or a branch or a leaf or something, and you perk back up, and you think, could this be it? And then if it really is the animal that you're looking for, if it really is a deer, then your adrenaline gets pumping. And if it's a big one, then there's a thing called buck fever, right, where you just literally kind of can't stand it, and your heart's pumping, and your adrenaline's going. Anybody done that? Had that experience? I was hunting on our farm when I was a teenager, and I didn't have a lot of time, so I went to a fence row and just sat down and started waiting. And here's the cool thing about that. If you do see something, you're going to be right on the ground with it. You're going to be very close. It's going to be a very kind of intimate experience. And I was sitting in the fence row, and I heard something. And it was like a little step, and then another step, and then another step. And it was like, oh, something's coming up right behind me. I couldn't see it, but something's coming. And my pulse kind of got up a little bit, and then it kept getting louder. And as it got louder, I got a little more anxious, and you kind of sweat a little bit. And then it's like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? What is it? And it was like, it's going to come right up like 2 feet from me, and I don't know what it is, and what is it? What if it's a skunk? What is it? What if it's a deer? What would I do then? And it could not get any closer. I could not imagine what it could be. I looked down, and a little quail walked right past my feet. And then another one. And then another one. 25 of them. It was a cool moment. Waiting can be two different things. It can be that sitting someplace checked out, bored. Or it can be that intense, excited, anxious, expectant thing where we don't know what's going to happen, but we expect something is going to happen. This is the thing Jesus told his disciples to do, to wait expectantly, leaning on the edge of your seat, looking around with eyes to see in the possibility that God might act. Let's get real for a second. We sometimes know what it feels like to wait and not see much happening, for time to get long, and we lose hope or lose interest. Or through the experience of life, sort of feel like we've been knocked down one too many times to hope again. And that's a real experience. What the disciples were asked to do was to wait in the hope that God would act. And they knew what it was like to be disappointed. They knew what it was like to have their hopes crushed. So what Jesus asks us to do is not anything different than what he asked those friends of his long ago to do. To hope again, to wait again, to sit on the edge of our seat in the possibility that God might move in our situation, in our world. In fact, to do nothing until God does. It's Moses leading his people out of the slavery in Egypt and saying to God, unless you go with us, I will not go. We will not go. It's Jesus going before his ministry, before he preaches, before he heals, before he acts, before he moves to save. He goes through the wilderness and he prays and he fasts and he deals with his demons. Is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating like drops of blood before he's crucified, praying to God so intensely, even asking if this thing could be taken from him, but if not, let your will be done. That's what waiting is. Getting to the point where we want God's will to be done more than anything else, where we imagine the possibility. If God were to act in this situation, what might it look like? And what would be the first signs of that? So that's what it means to wait, to determine to do nothing without God's presence. You can write that down on your bulletin. There's a place for notes if you want to take those. To determine to do nothing without God's presence. It makes me think about how much of my energy and effort in life is spent trying to make things happen, trying to take the first step, trying to force God's hand, trying to jump the gun, maybe out ahead of God, or sometimes lagging behind God. What Jesus asked us to do is to wait on him and to determine to do nothing until he moves. And that means some things. It means giving up control. It means submitting to God's purposes rather than our own. It means waiting and emptying ourselves so that we are primed and ready and receptive for what God wants to do. Today in our worship, we've done that in many ways. I would invite you in these next moments, if you want, to simply enter an attitude, sort of a posture of receptivity, to lift your hands, just sit them in your lap, and be open. As a sign of what it would mean to be that open in your life for God to act, to think about what it would mean to say, okay, I'm not going to do anything until I see that God is leading. And we'll talk in a second about what that might look like. As a way of saying, not my will, but yours be done. And to pray that prayer. I want to lead us in a prayer on the screen as your hands are open. And it's a way for us to join in this waiting together, inviting the Spirit to come and to work in us. And so I'll lead the parts that are not underlined, and you can respond together aloud in the parts that are. Come to us, God Almighty, send your Spirit. Ignite the fire in our hearts. Feed your flame within. Rushing wind, blow on us. Grow the sparks and spread them. Let your Spirit prepare and strengthen and equip us. Come to us, Lord Jesus. Send your Spirit. Let us proclaim who you are and multiply your presence throughout the earth. Fan the flame that fills us with generosity and caring. Come to us, Spirit of truth. Consume us with your fire. Let your power shape our world with love and peace and justice. Let your love fill our world with compassion and joy and hope. Amen and amen.
invite you in this next moment to respond how you want. Not everybody loves to stand and sing. I think it's important to stand and sing sometimes. Sometimes it's important to kneel and sing. But I want to give you the opportunity. It's important sometimes to dance and sing. Sometimes it's important to just stand and listen. Worship as the Spirit leads you. Sing that again. He is worthy, worthy, worthy.
To come, your kingdom has sing holy, holy, holy.
At some point it happens. We're not in control of it. That's kind of the point. But eventually, at some point, God moves, and that's a statement of faith. I think that's something that we kind of all have to come to. I do wonder sometimes in my own life if I don't wait long enough, and sometimes kind of at the very moment where God might kind of move decisively, I've moved on. I don't know when it is, but you know when it happens. When wait turns to the next word, which is wonder. And wonder is also a verb. It's something that we can do. It's the gift of a relationship with God. It's a word that captures things like joy and happiness and fullness and peace. The second action, the second thing that we see in the story of the first church receiving the Spirit is wonder. It's one of the ways we know God's at work. It's the one of the litmus tests that we cannot help but stand in awe of God. I would say one of the diagnoses of our culture is that we are really deficient. We're really lacking in wonder. What surprises us anymore? What's truly awesome? There's so much that we've come accustomed to just sort of glossing over. But in a relationship with God, there is an aspect of wonder. And in our relationship with God, we can bring all the raw materials for that. We can bring ourselves. We can bring our expectation and our hope. We can bring our faith. We can bring obedience. We can bring the raw materials, but only God can bring the fire. And this is what God does. He brings the fire. The church has traditionally lived into the Pentecost story with that symbol, with red as a color. This is the stole that I was given when I was ordained with a symbol of fire that reminds us that God is also like fire. In Hebrews 12, it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." When I was a college minister, we had this dynamic going where the girls kind of always had their act together, and they would plan things to do, and they had planned this spa day retreat where the college girls would go off and they would do girly things and, you know, kind of, I don't know what that was, but, you know, paint their nails and tell stories and have fun and all that. And the boys got jealous. That was what it came down to. They wanted something too, and they didn't have their act together, but in response to the girls having something to do, they wanted something to do. And they decided that we would do some sort of the opposite thing. We would go off into the woods somewhere and cook meat and do manly things. And so somebody said, well, let's call it the men's retreat. And then somebody said, no, let's call it the man's retreat. And that's what it was, the man's retreat. And we called up my friend who has this property on Rough River, and we went out into the woods, and we bought like a grate. I don't even know where it was. I found it in some camping kind of supply store, and put two concrete blocks and put a fire in the middle, put the grate on it and slapped meat on it and cooked it. It was like on the fire for about 3 seconds, and we pulled it off and ate it. And then one of the guys, there were like 20 or 30 guys who went out, and one of them, Scott Newman was there, by the way, and he can tell you about this. One of the guys said, well, the river's cold, but that's what men would do at the man's retreat. You ought to swim the river. So, like, all these guys swam the river and proved their manliness. You know, it was that kind of thing was going on. And then this thing that we could not have planned. My friend had been clearing this property, and he has this wonderful thing going where he has restored it to prairie grasses and native plants, and he's real big into that and has lots of wildlife and is real into restoration. So he cleared the property and cut down several trees that were needed to go to make room for all this. And several of those trees were just little or sometimes big cedar trees. And he had piled them up into these piles, and they told us, whenever it gets dark, when the wind dies down, light those piles on fire, and we'll have a bonfire, which was fine. Well, as we had some time on our hands, the guys thought, well, we could do that, light, you know, each individual one, or we could just pile them all together and light it all at one time. Has anybody ever lit their, like, dried Christmas tree on fire after... Yeah, everybody's seen a cedar tree or cedar. It has oil in it, so it catches fire quickly. It burns very hot and fast, and it's all these different colors. If you do that with a pile of trees that is about 10 or 15 feet tall, it makes a big fire. My friend and his dad were on the other side of the property, a couple hundred acres away, and they thought we had caught the whole countryside on fire. The flames, I've never been a part of a fire that big before. And as they came over the hill to see what was happening, what they encountered was a group of 30 college-age guys and one bald-headed guy who was a little bit older standing at a fire doing this. Like there was like awe, wonder, a lot of fear. And just, we were all happy to be there. When it was over, it was the thing we talked about. And for a year or two, the guys would say, remember that time? And that's all you had to say. Somebody would say that we had that fugacious fire and almost caught everything on fire. Yeah. Pentecost is like that. Our God brings fire. And one of the words that we find in the story is wonder. Again, as I think about my own relationship with God, I wonder if there is enough wonder. If there are times where we are in awe of things. I mean, when we say God, I mean, when we're awe of the things that we ought to be in awe of. The people God has given us in our lives. The opportunities that are before us. The beautiful things around us. Often we haven't waited long enough to come to the part where we wonder, where we stand in awe of what God is doing. And so on your outline for the place for notes there, you might write this. Wonder means expect the Spirit to bring God's power. And God's power in our lives has tremendous significance for us. There are things that we believe by faith in the church that only the Spirit can do. The Bible talks about the fruit of God's Spirit being things like love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And again, these aren't things that we will up in ourselves and by our own will make happen. They're the response to a relationship with God, a God who's not an idea in our heads, but a fire burning within us. That just by being around God, we are changed. So the fruit of the Spirit, or in the Bible, the gifts of God's Spirit, meaning that God, by his Spirit, empowers us to be part of love and justice and righteousness in the world. God gives us gifts to make that happen. Ultimately, there's this thing that we call spiritual discernment, where if we pray, we can trust that God will lead us, that God will answer us, that we will not be left alone, but that in the little decisions and in the big decisions of our lives, if we are praying for God's will to be done, God will reveal that will to us, will not withhold it from us, and will lead us to take steps that are sometimes hard, but are always right. Even more than just that kind of power for us as individuals, when we talk about the church, we must talk about this kind of power. Without God's Spirit alive in us, we cannot be the people God has created us to be. We can't do what God has called us to do. We can't have the power or the strength or the vision to take bold steps, to challenge power, to stand up for justice, to stand up for the poor, to put our own needs aside so that we can care about things that God cares about. We cannot do that on our own. But with God's Spirit, there is power. And that power leads to things that are transformative. And the church becomes the church. On our own strength, we'll simply work out things our own way, accomplishing our own purposes. With the Holy Spirit, we are drawn up into the contagious and transformative work of God and become a dynamic community of God's grace. We need God's Spirit to be the church, to follow God's lead. With God's Spirit, we are more than the sum of the parts. Without God's Spirit, we are an organization. With God's Spirit, we become, ordinary people become part of this unquenchable fire. So wonder means we expect the Spirit to bring God's power, to do God-sized things, and to do more than we expected. When we come to communion, which is what we're our next act of worship, we come in wonder that we're a part of something that God's doing in us and through us. And when we take communion, one of the things that I want you to know is that we believe it's open to everyone. You can come or not come, and that's simply between you and God. But everyone's welcome. And we believe that's a way to enter the story, to engage the story of God's redemption through Christ. And we do that by telling the story of Jesus as he told it through the symbols of bread and juice. We use grape juice here. And we come, and just a minute, you'll be invited to come and take bread and break it off of that loaf and dip it into the cup and then eat it. You'll come the left side, and you'll return to the right side in each of your aisles. And we'll have stations 3 in the front, 2 back here, and then a gluten-free station over here if you need that. But this is our way to stand in wonder of what God has done for us in Christ by telling the story and then by taking that story into us. And so we remember that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And at that table with his friends, he broke the bread, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." And we can only imagine how they stood or sat looking at Jesus in that moment, thinking, what could this be? What does that mean? There had to have been a little of that fear and a great deal of wonder as they wondered what God was up to. When the supper was over, he took the cup, and he said, "Take, drink. This is the cup of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Little could they have known that they would be standing in just a few short hours at the foot of a cross where their friend had been killed, crucified as a symbol of shame and defeat. Little could they have known that a few days later, God would raise him from the dead as a symbol of hope and resurrection. Little could they have known that in a few short weeks, 40 days or so, God would move powerfully again to create them as a force in the world. All of that was the great adventure of being a disciple as we tell the story. It's the story that we're invited into as we come. So as those who are serving come forward, let me invite you to this table that we believe is open to all. Is a place where we encounter the living Christ and the place where we enter into the great story of redemption in Christ in the hope that all things that are broken might be healed, that those of us who feel far from God might be brought close, and that all that is wrong will one day be made right. As we're drawn up into that story, let's pray together. God, would you send your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Would you come? Thank you.
the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. Before you erase the life again, and you have no rival. You have no equal. Now and yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, your name is the name above all names. So as I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace. And I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father, and you are worthy. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, you're awesome in this place, mighty God. Oh, Spirit, come, move in us. You have no rival, you have no equal, God, you above all things, you reign, and yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, now and forever, God, you reign. Nothing compares to this. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Our final word is witness. It's a word that's gotten a lot of meaning in 2,000 years, but if we go back to the original and go back to Greek, it's the same word where we get the noun martyr. Witness is what people do when they give their lives away. It's a giving up of power and control, kind of the opposite of sometimes how it's used. It's making your life a witness that ultimately points back to the life that was given for us all, Jesus Christ. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit comes. People become living reminders of Jesus. And that's what happens in the Pentecost story. As the Spirit comes and as people are able to speak in different languages, the whole point of that is that walls are torn down and barriers are removed between people so that the Spirit of God might move outward. So this word captures for the church the part of the church that's never about the church. The part of what we do that is always about God, that is bigger than us, outside of us, and moving past us. And there are lots of ways we live into that as we serve, as we live differently in our own lives, and as the church tackles things that are wrong in the world. It's what we do as we give, and as we come for the offering today, it's a way for us to be part of what God's doing in the world. And as those ushers come forward, let me invite you to prepare to give and to prepare to offer your life to the Spirit of God working in you and through you, to walk by faith and not by sight, to get up from this place today and be a part of what God is doing all around us. As we prepare to give and offer ourselves, let's pray together. God, we pray that our lives would be a witness to your grace, that we would, through how we live and how we act and through the generosity of our hearts, where we spend our money and where we give our time, that our lives might begin to point to your great purposes for your world, your original intentions that have been lost, and the power and possibility for those who are forgiven and redeemed. May we be a church that is not about this church, but about your work in the world. And would you send us out through our gifts, through our resources, and through our lives to be agents of grace in our world. For the sake of your kingdom, we pray. Amen.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, and oceans deep, my faith will stand. You.
cannot think of a more appropriate way, we couldn't think of a more appropriate way to end this celebration, to summarize all we've talked about, to see God's work over time in someone's life. And as Jim has waited and now has stood in wonder of Jesus, comes for baptism. So would you welcome Jim Madison to be baptized? Talked several times, and we've already talked about the ways he's going to use his gifts as an artist for the kingdom of God, and we're excited about that. And also want to celebrate all those who came to be with Jim. If you came to support Jim today, would you stand and let us see you? Woo! Thank you so much for being here. And so, Jim, I know this is an important moment in your life, and it's a moment we celebrate with you. And so let me ask you two questions. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and trust wholly in his grace? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And will you serve him by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service through this church? If so, say, I will.
I will. I will.
All right. Then, Jim, Madison, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Woo!
I'm doing that.
Let's pray. This will be our sending as we pray together. God, would you send your Spirit on Jim and on all of us, that your light and life might flow from us. We thank you for Jim and his commitment to you, and we cannot wait to see what you will do in him and through him, in us and through us, for the sake of your kingdom and the healing of your world. Send us out now to be your church wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in peace.